everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nosey.
This is Arnique.
And we are proudly sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com, enter that promo code TCC2021, as my eyes roll, because Arnique, I'm going to ask them if they can just update it to like cryptic. That way we don't have to put.
I thought you said last time they took away the numbers.
We tried, it didn't work. So,
oh, okay. Well, numbers back on.
They told me to use TCC 2021 until they can fix it. But you know, again, I got free time tomorrow to do these things. So I'll get back a hold of them tomorrow. And maybe by the next time we do a podcast, we'll be able to update that, guys. We are also proudly sponsored by Artopia. And I know I have that website somewhere. I forgot to mention it last time too. But I'll put that in my notes to make sure that I get the website up there. But they got a promo code at Artopia for the dice bags. You can get any dice bag and use the promo code TCC. Am I saying that one right? I think that was right, right? If not, I'll edit this out and look it up later. And you can save money over there on those dice bags. And we are sponsored by the Hobby Goblins. And we're sponsored by Legend Rise Gaming. We are proudly partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group Facebook group, and we're partnered with Cosmic Gaming. We have a special guest, but we had a chance to speak with him earlier today, and so we are going to use that footage for Level Up, which is going to be very interesting. Very, very special guest, James Sue, and he is he's most known for Humans of Magic, the podcast, and He's interviewed a lot of big wig people, right, Arnique?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he has. So look forward to staying tuned for the second half of this podcast, where the whole segment is pre-recorded footage of us talking with James. Again, that's going to be super exciting just to sit through and listen to again myself as I edit this. Let's get on to the first subject at hand, which is Card of the Week. And I believe you get Card of the Week.
I always have Card of the Week. You know this. This is mine. So I pick the hottest cards that people are talking about, usually. Anyway, let's talk about world champion Yuta Takahashi. He was the one who won Worlds not last year, but the year before that. I forget exactly what time it was. But with every world champion, one of the perks that you get is that you get to pretty much design your own card. It's not like everything that you want. Of course, you have to go back and forth with the design team and make sure it's fair, because right, you can't just have like a one mana 6/6 trample or something. But Yuta was famously known for his fairies deck back in the day, like Bitter Blossom and whatnot. So of course, it's natural that he made a fairy. Fairy Mastermind. One and a blue creature fairy rogue. Flash Flying. It's a 2/1 creature. Whenever an opponent draws their second card each turn, you draw a card. Pay 3 and a blue as activated ability. Each player draws a card. The flavor text on the card also says Yuta Takahashi, World Champion 27. This card is not released yet. It's coming out in March of the Machine, so which is like mid-April. But we'll talk about the set releases a little bit later on. Also, with each world champion, their likeness is also on the card itself. So he is now immortalized as a fairy forever. Have you, this card, I think this card is going to be pretty solid in Legacy Vintage, because that's where he wanted it to shine. And it's probably going to be almost an auto include in Commander. I don't know if you've seen the card yet, but I just sent it to you now. This card, I think, you show up in Standard as well. It looks pretty crazy to me. This card looks extremely good.
Oh yeah, I've seen this actually posted around. Some other content creators even sharing it. I thought about it, having it for a Card of the Week, but this guy right here is I'd play it. I mean, it's a fairy. It costs 2, flying, flash, 2/1. You know, forget the abilities even on this guy. He's sick alone right there, you know?
Yeah.
But did you already read off what it does?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty sick card, man. I like it. I have not had a chance to play with it. Well, it just got created, right?
Yeah, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to come out in 2 months. from now in the next set. It's gonna just it's gonna be standard legal, but which means it's gonna be everything legal. Joseph Woos was the one who, I mean, I saw the card as soon as they previewed it, but he also piggybacked like how insane the card is. And I'm like, yep, this is already what I have in mind for card of the week.
Yeah, this right here is it's in my color, Onique. Of course I saw
it. Of course it's in your color. Yeah.
I saw it and I'm like, yeah, this looks sick. Each player draws a card. Whenever an opponent draws their second card each turn, you draw a card. Of course, that's a little bit slower than what people want, because if they just got rid of that second card, you know, whenever they draw a card, you draw a card, would be kind of better. But I don't think it would be rare, and I don't think it would cost two. But so they had to cap you off there just on the second one.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if you look at Ledger Shredder, right?
That's a comparison there.
Yeah. You know? But, I mean, each player draws a card, and on top of it, this guy's got Flash. You know? It's not who's better than the other. It's almost like, in all honesty, why not play both of them together?
I mean, you probably will. Like, Shredder is whenever a player casts their second spell. When they cast their second spell. I put the emphasis on the wrong word.
A player. So it's your turn, their turn. And this right here, this could be done on their turn and your turn. So, I mean, I just see value written all over this, especially when you look at a competitive player, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a ton of value. I mean, you can keep your mana open so you can have your counter spell up. Just to cast it, and then at the same time, same thing with the activated ability. Like, let's say you have Fairy Mastermind because you're the blue player. I'll just use you. Sure. It's my turn. I draw a card for a turn. Whatever. I do my stuff. Okay, and I pass.
Oh, well, at the end of your turn, I'm flashing this guy in. Yeah.
No. Let's say you already have him on the battlefield. At the end of turn, you're just going to activate an ability. Each player draws a card. So you draw a card, and I draw a card. But this is now the second card I've drawn in a turn because. I have one for the turn. So that triggers for you, which you draw a second card. Now it's your turn. You draw a card for the turn.
It's so sick. I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean to cut you off, but it's going to go with a lot of things, too. Like
everything.
You got to have 13 cards in your hand to win the game. I'm seeing that right there. Right? Oh, I know, right? Eternal formats. I've seen this go all the way back to Eternal formats. You got cards like, come on, help me out here, where they had the one blue, one other, Snapcaster Mage.
Mm-hmm.
So Snapcaster Mage, this is going to go into the same pantheon, man. Same pantheon.
I mean, I don't disagree, but we're not talking about like three different two drops. So yeah. It's going to be a little crowded there.
I know, not really. I mean, no, every slot's crowded. That's crowded. Every slot's crowded, But you think about your four drops, you think about your two drops. This guy right here goes with so many strategies. It's sick. You can splash red with this, make it an is it. I mean, there's just so many possibilities.
Yeah. Like, I love this card. It's going to be my cube for sure.
Well, and that's your card of the week this week. Moving on to Movers and Shakers this week. And Movers and Shakers is powered by mtgstocks.com. Starting us off this week on Movers and Shakers, we got cheap pickups. I don't cheat. I really don't cheat and look at this until it's time to look at the podcast. Titania Nature's Force from Brothers War, $8.42, slowly moving down. Vengevine. Whoa, am I reading this right? Now, is this from a newer? Wow, that's got good artwork there, buddy.
It kind of looks like Kermit the Frog.
It's $7.49, slowly moving down. You think with a card as powerful as Vengevine, it would be more than $7.49.
Especially the Secret Lair version, which is this one's specifically highlighting.
And it's beautiful with that extended artwork. I mean, borderless, is that what the terminology is? Borderless?
Or full art, or I don't know. There's so many different versions of it.
Yeah. Steel Serif extended art. So maybe, that one is extended art. So $3.08 moving up. This guy, it looks like when it was originally printed, it was higher than that. It was over $10.
Yeah, it was probably just a lot of hype with it. And it's just kind of like, this card isn't that great. Although it has been showing up in like mono white midrange and standard.
Yeah, it's starting to be a reality, right?
There are only like two copies of it, so really not too much.
Let's go right into number three. Indomitable Creativity. Now, I've had a chance to play against this, and this is a very, very powerful card. I remember picking up a couple of copies for a friend of mine when I was in Illinois. $33.01. It's up 100%.
This is actually the third time Indomitable Creativity was on Movers and Shakers.
Wow.
Wow. Because like, you can see this little chart. Like it spiked up from like
17
bucks. Yeah, it spiked up to like, you know, 35, 40.
Yep.
Then it dipped a little bit and it spiked up again.
Yep.
And then it kind of died down a little bit. It went from, you know, like 25, 20 to around 16. And now it's, you know, doubled, as we said, to 33 bucks.
And that's funny that you said that, because now, as you mentioned it, I'm looking at the chart and I'm like, he's absolutely right. It's the third time it's been spotlighted on this show. If number three, it's sitting at a plus 100%, is any kind of indication of where we're going with the top two. You know, buckle your seatbelts. Number two this week.
Well, real quick, I also want to point out that Creativity was spiking so much because that is the deck that Reed Duke used to pilot, you know, to victory in PT Philly.
Well, let's see if there's a theme here. Number two, Colossus Hammer, $8.08. It's up 306%.
It's an $8 uncommon.
Yeah. I remember when this guy got previewed, and I'm like, oh, goodness, just put it on a flying bird. But then all of a sudden, it loses flying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it loses flying. So, yeah, there goes my thought. But I remember when this guy came out, that was my thought. And looks like it, you know, wah, 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 right? And, the equip cost, there's a way of cheating around stuff, you know, especially Stoneforge Mystic.
Well, now, yeah, Sigarda's aid and there's other...
Yeah, there's other ways of doing stuff. It. Right. So, I mean, 306%, man, wow. Saw that one coming. Number one, though.
Yeah, because Skrelv has also been showing up, the Defector Mite, which is just another way for you to give protection... to protect the creature that's holding the hammer.
This guy's up 469%, $6.95. Organic Extinction.
What a name.
Yeah, is this from Avacyn Restored or something? Where's this
no,
from?
This is, I think, a Kamigawa precon, Kamigawa Commander.
Okay, that's why I don't recognize the symbol. Got it. Wow. Wow, and it's just a sorcery. Let me zoom in on this bad boy.
It's a 10 mana sorcery, 8 white, but improvise. Oh. Your artifacts can help cast a spell each. This is Convoke, but just for artifacts instead of creatures.
Yeah, but I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at what it actually does. Destroy all non-artifact creatures. Whoa. Oh, I see your point, though, because improvising, you help pay the cost of it, because it is pretty hefty, right?
Yeah.
It is pretty hefty.
10 mana board wipe that you can build around to really kind of have a one-sided board wipe, or I guess from Commander, just wipe out everyone else's board or most of their board. Because if you have just, you know, nothing but artifacts or mostly artifacts, you're in great shape.
Yeah. I've been playing against this here and there.
Again, you've played against Organic Extinction?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Playing against it, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. That's the Commander, so bleh.
Well, no, I mean, so it only came from that, but people put it in their decks anyway. You know, the people play Kitchen Table Magic and put it in there, you know?
Well, yeah, but I don't play Kitchen Table Magic.
Gotcha. I'll play whatever format.
I play what format are we playing? And if you're telling me Legacy, then okay, maybe.
Right.
I'll play against it. I guess that's an excuse. You could Kitchen Table Magic is basically Legacy, but with, like, no,
yeah, dude. I mean, it's like a casual Legacy, you know?
Yeah, like real casual.
Yeah, real casual. How casual can you go? But that's Movers and Shakers this week.
So, like I said, like we just said with number three, Indomitable Creativity, that's what Reed Duke used to pilot his deck to victory, which is a creativity. As you can guess, it's just a blue-red deck that uses like just tokens and treasures and just things that aren't creatures to where he will sacrifice them. Sorry, like Indomitable Creativity, just to go over it again, is a X red. Destroy X target artifacts and or creatures. For each permanent destroyed this way, its controller reveals cards from the top of their library until an artifact or creature card is revealed and exiles that card. Those players put the exiled cards onto the battlefield, then shuffle their libraries. So the combo that he's doing is a World Spine Worm and then Xanagos, God of Rebels, which are both creatures. World Spine is a 15-15 trample that when it dies, it makes a couple worms. But you don't really care about it dying. I mean, it's possible. But the other part is Xanagos, which is the green-red god creature. 6-5 indestructible. We don't really care about the devotion part. But at the beginning of combat on your turn, another target creature you control gains haste and plus X until end of turn, where X is that creature's power. You're clearly targeting World Spider Worm to make it a 30-30 trample haste attack. Good game.
No kidding, man.
It's a disgusting combo.
No kidding.
The other combo that he has in here is, he can side out these two creature cards, and then he puts in two Hullbreaker Horrors, which just a 7-8 flash can be countered. Whenever you cast a spell, choose one, return target spell you control. Return target spell that you don't control to its owner's hand, which is a pseudo counter spell. And then return target non-land permanent to his owner's hand. So Hullbreaker is kind of like a backup plan. But he did win it all. He took down 3-0 against Benton Madsen.
Just funny, it just clicked into a bomb card like that's a backup plan.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that it's not running that other combo, which is like the Locust God and Sage of the Falls.
Well, it just goes with what I said earlier, too. There's just only so many slots.
Yeah, but I mean, that could be also a backup plan, which I'm planning on porting this into Explore, since Explore on Arena doesn't have either of those two combo pieces yet. So I'm probably going to just go infinite combo with Sage of the Falls and Locust. And then I guess the backup plan could be Hullbreaker Horror. But yeah, a huge congrats to Reed Duke taking down Benton Madsen, who actually qualified through Arena to be at this Pro Tour on his phone. Like, it's hard to imagine that, like, someone's just playing Arena on their phone, primarily on their phone, and qualifying for one of the biggest stages in Magic. To me, I just find it kind of amusing. The top eight was pretty diverse. Shota Yusuka had Reckless Midrange, Derek Davis, and Enigmatic Fires.
Ooh.
Of course, Reed Duke with Is It Creativity, Nathan Stewart, the current world champion, Lotus Field Combo, Takumi Matsuda, Mono White Humans, Chris Ferber, another Lotus Field Combo, Benton Madsen with Celestia Auras, which he pretty much mulliganed aggressively to make sure he had that 1-1 hexproof. I forget the name, just so where it doesn't get destroyed immediately, because Benton knew the matchup that Reed had no way of like doing like a board sweeper or a non-targeted removal. So it was pretty much Reed had to combo out, or Benton had to pretty much play Boggles and just or Voltron. And then the last deck was by Yellow Hat, Gabriel Nassif with Is It Creativity, which is interesting that Benton played Gabriel Nassif. It was Celestia versus Is It Creativity, and Benton won the 3-0. But then the finals, Benton played against Reed Duke, which is also Is It Creativity, and Reed just mopped the floor with him. I find it interesting. But yeah, I just want to give a huge shout out to Reed Duke, who was not listening, but congrats on the first PTU Tour win.
Okay.
But I'm just really glad. Like, you have no idea how excited I was to watch Paper Magic being played again.
Oh yeah, man, it's only
like, yeah, it's so refreshing. And it's, I mean, we'll get to it later on, but when we were talking to James, like, it crossed my mind that Benton qualified through Arena. Of course he plays Paper Magic, but for someone who plays Arena, and you could be good at Arena, but if you actually hold a deck in your hand, shuffling might be a challenge for you, because you're not used to shuffling, you know. Tapping, untapping, keeping track of your triggers and your life total and what has plus one counter or loyalty counter. Those little things really start to add up, that you have to stop and think about these little actions that is just so done for you on Arena that I find it really amusing. But so during PT Philly, actually, unfortunately, during the finals, they previewed a whole bunch of cards. That's when the previous episode, I'm sure you heard me, like, just kind of going nuts, trying to hold back my excitement on.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you're spoiling.
You kidding me? Over there at LAX, during the last podcast we did, I was running around telling everybody the Phyrexian are coming to every plane.
Yeah.
And Day was like, "You didn't see the meme of the Avengers?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "They opened the portal through the hole and they came through." I'm like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me."
Yeah. So I want to go over pretty much what sets an expansion to expect this year. Because I know a lot of people kind of like roll their eyes like, oh, another set, more cards I have to buy. Everything's being pushed too fast. I can't keep up. I mean, for me, it's really easy to keep up with it because I consume a lot of Magic, not just, you know, financially, but just, you know, I listen to it. I do a podcast. I do commentating. I do tournaments.
Right.
Like, I'm all over the place.
You live, eat, breathe, and sleep Magic.
Yes, and at least of all, play Magic.
I mean, we talked about that with James also.
Yeah. So I want to go over like a bunch of stuff that's coming out this year. So if you kind of like want to grab a pen and paper and kind of make some notes, this will make you super prepared for what's coming out, and nothing will be new to you.
Okay, I'm ready. What you got?
So first up, and I'm going in chronological order, Shadows over Innistrad Remastered. This is arena only, March 21st.
Okay.
This will have two sets, Shadows over Innistrad and, oh my god, Eldritch Moon. Wow.
Oh.
So those two sets are going to be kind of merged into one and going to be released on Arena, which means it's going to be Explore and Historic Legal. Also, this set said it's going to have 81 callbacks. I don't know what the heck callbacks mean. I mean, I know what like the English word of it means.
Callbacks to older mechanics or cards, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, but I don't know what they mean by callbacks, and I have a theory.
What we can do is we can speculate as far as like they did a card where they never had a card, but it was always in the lore, and they finally made a card.
You know? I see what you mean, but I don't think they're going to make new cards like that.
They can say Thrall King, but it's like a rogue wizard, you know, but a throwback to the Thrall. And who knows what they're going to do, but
I have a guess.
That's a lot of throwbacks.
But they're not going to make new cards because this is an arena-only set, or release, I'll say. Mm-hmm. So if you don't play Arena, you can totally ignore this. But the callbacks, I think, like, keep in mind, they're making this remastered so they'll eventually have Pioneer on Arena. I think so. That means the first Innistrad sets are not going to be legal for Explorer or Historic. But I think the callbacks, I think they're going to be cards from the first Innistrad, and whatever other sets there were. I don't know the three sets. You know what I'm talking about, right?
The ones that are coming out, or the ones
the very first time we went to Innistrad.
Yeah, it was called Innistrad.
Yeah, Innistrad. There was like Avacyn Restored.
And then
there's something in the middle.
Oh,
Innistrad. Was it Dark Ascension?
Yeah, Dark Ascension. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I think it's going to be 81 cards between those three sets. I think. I'm just going to cross my fingers for Snapcaster Mage.
So I think please Snapcaster Mage came in Dark
Ascension. Come to Arena. Yes, yeah. But please come to Arena. Anyway. But
I think during that time period, Blue White Flash was the thing.
Probably.
Blue White Bounce, sorry.
So that's coming up March 21st. Again, the callbacks is just a guess. Next one, April 21st, the set that we're all talking about, that everyone's talking about, March of the Machine. Yes. And it's singular. I hear everyone calling it March of the Machines. No, there's no machines. It's right. One yeah. Machine. Single machine.
Well, you got the whole talk about the Eldrazi now, so it's like they think machines, you know?
No,
don't say machines. Phyrexian, excuse me.
Don't say machines.
Right.
Plural. Yeah. Stop it.
Machine.
Yes, thank you.
Insert Pink Floyd song right here, you know?
This is going to be legal everywhere and going to be released everywhere. So Paper, Arena, Magic Online, Legal and Standard, Explorer, Pioneer, Commander, whatever. April 21st. So you can go play your pre-release at your local game store.
That's right around the corner, man.
In the set, you know how we had the Retroframe artifacts in Brothers War and how we had Mystical Archives and Secret Lair in Strixhaven? there's going to be what they call Multiverse Legends. It is a dedicated slot in every single pack of March of the Machine, to where it's going to have a legendary card. I don't know if it's legendary creatures or just legendary permanent. It could be like legendary champion or artifact or whatever, but legendary something.
And it's multicolored.
It could be any color. It could be whatever.
Wow.
But it's a legendary creature. They didn't announce how many of these cards there are, but if you want to look back at the patterns, the Retroframe Artifacts had 63 of these cards, and the Mystical Archives had 63 of these cards. So I think it's going to be 63 of these Multiverse Legends. They previewed two so far. And all of these are also going to be on Arena. Atraxa, which is the number one most popular commander of all time, I would say, that's going to come to Arena. So get ready for Historic Brawl. And Stupid Monkey. Excuse me, I meant to say Ragavan. Ragavan is coming to Arena. That's Nimble funny. Pilferer.
I've been listening to that Dance Monkey song a lot. That's funny.
I think Ragavan is going to see a Day Zero ban, but we'll figure that out later. I got some more stuff to cover. Then it's going to be March of the Machine, the Aftermath. This is May 12th, so about a month, 3 weeks later. Mm-hmm. This will also be legal and standard, and I think it's a very tiny set of like 50 cards, and they're going to be have like 5-card booster packs. I'm not so sure on the details yet, but it is like kind of like a supplemental set that's going to be part of the thing. It's just basically tying up the loose ends of the result of this giant Phyrexia war. And they previewed one single card for it, and I think they said that like any other preview that they would show us would have bigger spoilers than the one that they showed us. So I think all hell is breaking loose with this war. That's May 12th, March of the Machine, the Aftermath. Next up, on June 23rd, Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-Earth. This is modern legal. It's going to be available paper and Arena. And Arena is going to be historic and apparently Alchemy legal too. I find this difficult to process because modern means it's high power. Alchemy is basically standard plus. So I think they're going to rebalance some of these cards to make it not as busted as, you know, like Modern Horizons 1 and 2. Or maybe they'll just kind of be handpicked here and there. But this is Lord of the Rings. You know, a lot of people love the franchise. So it'll be very interesting to see it. Although I'm kind of already prepared to say like, oh, they messed up Gandalf, or how can the One Ring be so weak and this and that. And just like,
a lot of fantasy things related are based off of J.R.R. Tolkien's Ring saga. So, but, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Next up is Commander Masters, August 4th. It's going to have 5 precons. I think one is Slivers. I think one is going to be like white, black, green enchantments of some sort. I think it's going to be an actual colorless enchantment, a colorless commander deck of like Eldrazi something.
Yeah.
This is not coming to Arena. This will probably be a draftable set like Baldur's Gate was, or the previous Commander Legends. But this is August 4th. We'll get more details later on. After that, sometime in September will be Wilds of Eldraine. This will be standard legal. This will be the next expansion set that comes after March of the Machine. And this will, Wilds of Eldraine will have a standard rotation, but we could talk about it another time. That's coming in September. A few months after that, in November, is Lost Caverns of Ixalan. That's the next set afterwards. So that's going to be standard legal and legal everywhere. And the very last one, Universes Beyond Doctor Who Commander Decks.
Yeah.
That's going to be end of the year, like November, December, or something like that. Maybe even October.
I'd like to have a sonic screwdriver.
It took me a second to process what you meant, because like, what are you talking about, Scrooge? Okay, I'm not a Doctor Who person.
Really?
Yeah, I know that little stick that buzzes when he...
The wand.
I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. It's a magic wand. But that's everything coming up in Magic for the year. There's probably going to be more stuff like sometime in June. They'll maybe announce the product coming out in October. Like, sure. But all this information that I just told you, like write it down or just keep it in mind, because this is the bulk of what to expect coming up.
So, coming up.
You can kind of pick and choose. Like, I don't care about Commander, so like I can safely ignore two or three of his products. Yeah. So, you know, pay attention to what you want to be involved in, and then kind of ignore the rest, or just kind of like say, oh, that's cool, and then move on.
Well, circling back to the Sonic Screwdriver, I'll tell you what, for everything it does, I hope it's a magic wand. It does a lot, man.
It would be interesting to see what kind of card to do out of it, but like, again, it's like, oh, they did it wrong. How can they make it so weird? Why is it like a green card and not a blue card or whatever? I don't know.
Right. It's a lot to take in, man. Speaking of which, we should just go ahead and segue to a commercial break, because when we come back, I say grab a bag of popcorn or something, because this is a really good interview with you and me, or I should say you and I, with James. And we asked some really good questions. We wanted to pick his brain for Level Up. And I couldn't think of a better segment to include for Level Up. So when we come back after the show, it's going to be nothing but that pre-recorded footage we took earlier. How about them apples?
That'd be good.
All right. All right, guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. And Onique, we are going to go right into not Beginner's Corner anymore. It's Level Up. We're going to go right into Level Up. We actually have a special guest with us today. This man really needs no introduction at all. Really no introduction at all. So should I just go right into talking with you? I mean, really no introduction. From the podcast Humans of Magic, James Sue. James, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on the Cryptic Commander podcast. It means so much to our listeners and to us. Thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Onique, are you a fan of James's content, Humans of Magic? Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I'm not big in consuming content, but yeah, definitely a name I've heard.
Yeah, man. I've done a lot of research on him, and we've got a ton of questions for him. And I think it's great that we ask him and pick his brain for Level Up, because we are talking to more advanced players, you know, at this point of the podcast. And I mean, getting right into it, James, you've done a lot, man. You know, just even a quick Google search, Humans of Magic pops up. And I didn't even know, man, that just by going through some of these names, those are some names there, man.
High profile people.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Kibler, Sheldon Menry, right? And, wow, bud, that's, and each one is just, it's just a banger episode, in my opinion. You know, that's what the kids are saying these days. I got to stay hip with the kids.
So just the other day, you were with Reed Duke, huh?
That's right. I had a chance to catch Reed Duke after PT Phyrexia, and it's fun getting to catch up with Reed. I interviewed him, I want to say 2020. Yes, when COVID started happening around the world. So it's kind of a nice, I don't know what to call that, like a retrospective, because a lot has happened since then.
Yeah.
And I actually went back and listened to the interview I had with him, the first one. And so it was nice to kind of come full circle and kind of see how he developed as a player in terms of accomplishments, right? Winning the PT, but also just in terms of his growth as a person, right? Because that's something that I always try to do in my show, is try to highlight the, as the title suggests, kind of the humanity or the people behind the game. So I was really happy to have a chance to talk to him.
Was your interview already planned before he won PT Philly? Or was it just kind of like, hey, you won, I want to talk to you now? I'm just curious on that part.
Yeah, it was actually, it was funny. It was planned in advance. So
nice.
We had been talking, I think in December or January, about doing a new episode together. And things got busy on his side, of course, with PT Philly prep, and things got busy on my side. And so we kind of just left it on the back burner. And I remember messaging him a week before PT Philly, and he was like, yeah, let's record after PT Philly. I'll have time then. And yeah, it's funny. As I was following the progression of that event, I was like, wow, okay, I think the interview could shape up to be something more interesting, right? I mean, not to say that I only want to talk to people who have certain accomplishments. That's not the implication, but it just adds more to the list of topics. And yeah, it was really nice. It was really nice. I think one of the biggest things for the show, for Humans of Magic, is just the fact that you try to stay friendly with your guests. You try to keep in touch. And I've just made a lot of good online and offline friends over the years by just trying to do good work and trying to put good content out there, just like you guys are doing. So I think it's, you have to think of it as kind of like a compounding thing, right? Like you have to try everything you do, every episode, every step, every outreach, you try to make a positive effect, right, on the guests or on the community, and it just hopefully just keeps growing from there.
You already have like a bunch of people kind of like, not a bunch, but you already had some people lined up before you planning on interviewing up next. Like, do you kind of have a schedule that you made for yourself, or just kind of tentative, like, oh, I want to talk to you at some point, but I don't know where we could fit in?
Yeah. I always have a backlog, because I kind of use the method of just thinking about the rotation of episodes and what kinds of guests. For example, maybe a guest I haven't had it on in a while, I want to talk to them again because something happened for them in the Magic community and they've been public about it. Mm-hmm. Or it's just like, sometimes it's curiosity. It's like I got really into wanting to learn more about Commander and CEDH last year, so I interviewed a whole bunch of creators in the space. And sometimes it's just like when schedules line up, right? Like sometimes I'll talk to people like 3-4 months in advance. Sometimes it just comes together super quickly. But I'm always thinking about the next guest, because I don't have the stability that you guys might have as a show of like hosts, and you're always able to get together and talk about stuff. Like, my content is basically derived from guest selection. So I think guest selection is really the most important thing, or maybe I would argue the only thing, if you know what I mean.
Right. John, I think you're going to say something a moment ago.
Yeah, I had a few things. I mean, as James talks more and more, it's like, wow, a lot of questions come to the head, you know, because I mean, you've been around the game for a long time. You said earlier in the pre-show you played Legacy, right?
Yeah. I've been playing Legacy since I think 08, and that was a way for me to get back or get into competitive Magic. But I've been playing Magic as a player since the 90s. I started playing Revised Edition, Third Edition, with my brother. Like, I think it was 94 or 93, something like that. Yeah.
Nice. We've tried to, in the beginning with a lot of guests, ask them, when did you start Magic, which you answered, right? And when did you start getting serious? Would you say you started getting serious in like 07, 08?
Oh, yeah. That was when I had more disposable income, more time.
Yeah.
I found a group of local friends in where I was that was really into the format, and we started going and playing in GPs and, you know, started reading a lot more about Magic. So I kind of missed the whole like 90s, 2000s era, early 2000s era of competitive Magic. I never really used to go to, I don't know what it was called before FNMs, right? Because that was the era.
So you had regionals and nationals. And...
Yeah, I didn't do any of that. Like I just got back into Magic in 08, and then I kind of found like a way that I could enjoy the game, basically.
So it kind of gives me a good segue into my next question, because like you, I started in beta, okay? And then now in 2007 is when I started getting serious, because I didn't know really you can do a pro thing, you know, or go nationals, go regionals and stuff like that. So what I, again, this goes like cliche. We did tend to ask a lot of guests this in the past, but I really want to know your personal opinion. Where do you see Magic the Gathering in 10 years, 20 years?
That's a big question. So 10 years, 20 years. You know, I think it's going to be around. I think Magic's definitely going to be around in 10 or 20 years. I think there's just too much of a fan base, or in terms of, and I think Wizards of the Coast is doing mostly the right things in terms of appealing to a larger and larger demographic of players. So I think that is in good hands. I'm mostly a spike though. So, you know, I mentioned interviewing people for Commander and things like that, but you know, I like 60 cards, 75 cards, including sideboard formats. So I'm not so sure about competitive Magic, because I think that has become I guess you could argue it's always been kind of a secondary thing as a way to market the game. But I am not sure where that is going. Obviously, there's still a ton of people that love competing, myself mm-hmm. included. I played a lot of RCQs last year.
Sure.
And but yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I do have a hot take though, and I know this is probably not a hot take show, but I mostly agree with the professor to Larian Community College when he says that Commander should not be the dominant format. I'm paraphrasing him, but I strongly believe that Commander has kind of reached peak
that
popularity.
Pinnacle. Yeah.
And yeah. And I think in terms of, let's just maybe not in terms of players or enjoyment of the format, because I think that will be here to stay, but just in terms of content, I think there's going to be some sort of reckoning or correction, because mm-hmm. I just think that there's way too much, and no shade to a lot of the creators. I've interviewed a lot of them for Humans of Magic. They're great, mm-hmm. but I would be careful about like going all in on Commander in the next couple of years in terms of content, because I just don't know if like there's going to be an oversaturation point, at which point it could be hard, right? I don't know. Like, so not exactly articulating this super well, but I love Commander. I love like people who are in the format, but I'm not so sure what would happen if Commander just continued to get pushed as like the format for Magic. Like that's a question mark for me. So
it's on a pedestal for sure.
I definitely agree with you on that. And then I guess in turn, agree with the professor. I think Commander is pretty much at the highest it's ever been. It's everything is everywhere. They're doing universes beyond specifically like, hey, Doctor Who is going to be Commander only sort of thing. Sure. Baldur's Gate was the same thing. I don't play Commander, and I poo-poo the format occasionally just because I tease them. But I think it's just a little too much too fast. The players are so far absorbing it, but they're also getting a little oversaturated, like, another set? Okay. And I feel like the bulk of the players that complain about too many set releases are Commander players, because that's a format that you have to pay attention to every single card because everything is legal. But then again, they also have players who, there are people who have like 20 Commander decks, and well, yeah, you're kind of your own problem in that sense. I would love to see a rise in competitive, not necessarily competitive Magic, but I suppose a return of paper Standard, and have that be the premier format to where new players can learn Standard. Yeah, of course, you know, the rotation is a thing, but people make it out to where it's such a bad and evil thing, but it's predictable.
What, type 2?
Standard? Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, there's always, like, what James, like, both what you're saying, you know, I mean, pardon my words here, I'm stumbling all over myself. When you look at Standard, it was the backbone, and then you had Extended, which is Modern now, and that was like a fallback thing, but they still look at it as competitive. And then when Commander was really formed, it was like a little side thing. You know, even Sheldon's came on and made marks about, you know, this was just a little thing to do on the side at an event. And now, as you're saying too, not only is there content constantly targeted around it, but if you look at, we have a segment called Movers and Shakers. And I personally think, now James, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you might know more than me, but I look at this now as Commander's really pushing the market value of these cards. Whereas yeah. I thought Standard was pushing these cards. In April of this year, we plan to have on, I don't want to murder his name. Is it Brian David Marshall?
Hold on. Yeah, BDM.
Brian David Marshall.
Thank you. Brian David Marshall. I keep talking back and forth with Brian, and he's had a lot of things come up, so we had to push it back to April. And I look back at, you know, not my childhood, but my tween years, you know, and I remember looking at, you know, ESPN2 and stuff, and you look at interviews from Brian David Marshall to Magic players, and you slowly start seeing away from Johnny Magic into a plethora of other Magic the Gathering players now that are starting to get the spotlight. And now it's even more different in 2023, you know, With, of course, with everything that happened with the world, with, you know, that was going on in 2020, it had put a step back. I mean, when I started hearing about basketball, they started stopping doing that. And I'm like, what? You know, I mean, I was not hearing everything as it was coming through, you know, and then Magic was put on halt too. I started seeing a fluctuation in Magic cards, and I'm like, what's driving this market? What's driving this market? And I'm a firm believer, but again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Commander's moving the market even. So not only is it content that's being created and being saturated, but even the market's being moved by Commander? Question mark.
Oh, no question. I mean, so no question the demand is there for Commander cards and staples, and that's dictating the market. I don't believe there's actually anything inherently wrong with that, because it's the player demand that's driving the prices as opposed to pure speculation, right? And that's a whole other topic and podcast in itself. But
right.
So I'm not begrudging the popularity of Commander. I am just saying really two things. One, it's not for everybody. Like, I think there still needs to be a set of popular formats for people who are more competitive minded, because Commander by design is just not going to be that. It's really a communal, dare I say, board game experience as opposed to competitive Magic experience. And number two, I'm just saying that for content creators, I would be careful about going all in on Commander content, because I think there is a kind of saturation point that we're starting to hit where, you know, kind of like what we talked about before this recording, right? Like, how do you stand out as a creator? Well, if, you know, if Brian Kibler and Olivia have their great show and Alias V has a great show and you're not one of those people, like, how do you stand out, right?
Right,
so
right.
I think people have been able to figure that out and develop a fan base. I give them their flowers. I think they're great. But if you're starting out or if you're kind of stumbling, you have to figure that out. I think that's going to be the challenging thing, right?
No, absolutely. 100%. When I looked into making a podcast, I've said this on the podcast many a times, there's not really a guidebook or a handbook on it. This is just podcasts alone, right? And I'm sure you looked at the same bullet points, but regardless, it has one of the bullet points as you have to stand out. And I think when I came up with the mission statement was with, I'm not going to lie, help from other areas. You know, it was Magic the Gathering's best with a communal experience. And a big part of that's when it stemmed from knowledge, getting assistance where needed makes it more enjoyable. And I constantly tell people, even strangers on the street, I'm like, hey, you know, the game Magic the Gathering, you know, because let's face it, I market it on the streets too, you know, and sometimes people tune in, sometimes they won't. But I think that getting people on that know about the game itself, the whole, you know, as a whole in the community, you know, various people like Jake and Joel or Magic, yourself, James, like you, Sheldon Menry, Usman Jamil, you know, people that are knee deep in the game. I mean, Usman, I don't know if you know who he is. He's like the king of the cube format, you know? He's even written a couple of cubes on Magic the Gathering Arena. But that's kind of what we do over here. And you're exactly right, man. You have to stand out of the crowd. I think the last time I looked, there was 3-point-something million podcasts. And I almost bet one million out of that's Magic the Gathering podcasts.
I don't know about that many. That's a lot.
Well, I mean, it's speculation. I mean, since we're speculating here, guys, you know.
Starting a podcast is the new starting a live journal or starting a Facebook account or something, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try to interject this real quick, too. We had the head of the Magic the Gathering Content Creator Awards, Mr. Strategist.
Strategist.
And he goes, John, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not sure if it made it to the podcast or not, James, but I'm just trying to get this in there while we're talking about it. He said, I started writing down the names of all the Magic the Gathering podcasts in a notebook. He goes, when I start getting to the second page, I knew there was something going on here. He's like, there's a lot of Magic the Gathering podcasts. He's just even lost count over the years, you know? And at that time, it questioned me, do I really keep going? Because I made a promise a long time ago to the fans that even if I have one listener, I'll keep this program going. And this program keeps growing.
Has it been challenging for you guys to keep it up in terms of motivation? I'm just curious.
For me, no. Onik?
I mean, we push each other once in a while to kind of keep moving forward. I really joined like halfway into it. But I mean, I'm motivated pretty much every time we go. Like I enjoy this. I just like talking, even if we have one listener or 100 listeners or even more, I'm going to treat it as if I have a full audience in front of me.
And all funny, the time. Funny that he's asking too, Onik. I was originally, when I started this in 2020, right? And the beginning of 2020, but I didn't know there was a pandemic going on or anything. And I was obliterate to it. We were in a little small town in a rural area, you know? Anyway, long story short, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, kind of on the Illinois side, and Onik is in Los Angeles, California. We just got to meet personally for the first time recently. And my plan was to go visit the other co-hosts, but they moved on to other projects and stuff, you know? But as for me to keep motivated, man, yeah, I keep, not only do I do the podcast, but I try to keep up with the other social medias, and I get spread thin, man. I really do. I get spread thin. Onik, he's spread thin too. I know, I'm not sure if he's doing it right now, but organizing, he does event organizations things. He organizes events.
I do a little tournament organizing. I'm actually doing commentary for a tournament tomorrow too.
Yeah.
Facebook, big into Facebook Magic community. But yeah, I mean, I still give full priority to the podcast because this is my passion too.
Back hey, to you, James. Yeah, respect to that. Yeah, sorry to interject, but it's like, yeah, thank you for your service, man. It's good to we need people like that to really, you know, give to the community and help organize things and get things going because you know how Magic players are. Magic players expect a lot, but don't always give a lot back in return. So thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. It's like Mark Rosewater says, like, I talk more about Magic than I play Magic. I mean, he doesn't say that, but that's exactly a sign up on every episode, that's pretty funny. Much. But that's I talk more than I actually play. People like send me like, hey, can you help me with this deck? And I'm like, I haven't logged into Arena in like 2 weeks. But did you do this and that? I'm like, yeah, but I haven't played.
Now, speaking of giving back, we like to give back to the community. I just mailed out a bundle. I know it's not a big thing, but maybe to some people it is, right? To me, it is. I come from a middle-class family. I mailed a bundle that I paid for personally and to a winner. His name was Sean Roper.
Yeah, that's my homie. Dude, you know, really? I met him like over 20 years ago in the Air really? Force. Yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, so I mailed it out to him, dude. It's in the mail. I got tracking and everything.
I love you, Sean.
Love you too, Onik. So we've got $100 in the podcast account right now, and I'm going to go ahead and take that. I'm going to buy something else of that nature, of that size too. And I was hoping to get like $120 to go get a box to give out to a listener. So by the next episode, whoever's listening, if you want to win the next thing, pay attention to the next episode of the podcast, and me and Onik will give out like a code word or something and tell you where to go put it, and that way you'll be entered into that contest. But yeah, we love giving back to the community, man. That's when I look at influences in my life, James, and I know we had talked earlier about, should I come on your podcast? Should you come on mine? And, you know, looking through real life experiences myself, I use things like my brother, he taught me, you know, let's give to the community, like our neighbors, our real actual neighbors. They got kids, man. They're like 13 to 16. Let's see if they want to get into Magic the Gathering. There's a bunch of bulk over here, you know, and it turned out to be a good idea. And all the neighborhood kids knew that our house was a place you can go and be safe and play games. And it was kind of a thing, man. And it made me look at that real world example and include it into the podcast and to help teach people, you know, this is things you can do, you know. So, yeah, when you say, you know, motivation, I look at it as passion, too, because I really do want to help people, you know, and it was one of the reasons why I started the podcast was to help people. So that in this segment, Level Up, I'm curious, you play with the paper cards in that Legacy, or are you doing the Magic the Gathering online?
Oh, I'm doing both, my friend. So definitely back in 08, up until a few years ago, actually, I was all paper. I was going to GPs playing paper. I had a paper collection. I even foiled out some of the Legacy decks, German foil, because I thought English foils were too easy to get. I had that going on. That was definitely before I got more into this podcasting thing, because it's you know, there's only a certain amount of time you can spend towards hobbies, right?
Sure.
But interesting enough, like in 2020, I shouldn't say interesting enough. It's pretty. So I'm one of those people that actually played Arena before they played Magic Online. But in 2020, I started getting into Magic Online because of COVID, and I wanted to still play Magic because there were no paper events. And so I actually have been playing online, Magic Online, since 2020. And actually, I'm one of the few people that don't mind the interface. I actually really like Magic Online. I think Magic Online made me a better player. I actually know how the stack works. I actually know how how Magic works now. And I just realized that in like the last 10 years, I've been just kind of, you know, one of the fish in a barrel, right? So
I think we did the level of the beginner's corner, and then we did level up, like we're still in the level up era of the podcast. I think when we go to our next stage for like the advanced players, you know, because right now, I guess we're talking to intermediate players, right, Onik?
Sure. I mean, we're talking to everyone, but yeah.
Well, yeah, true. I think when we get to the advanced part and whatever we name that segment in the future, we'll be bringing up a lot of Magic the Gathering Online because, like you said, man, you know the stack. You know this, and you know you got to tap your own land and stuff, you know? And Magic the Gathering Arena, they're kind of doing it all for you, you know?
I mean, if he can get
got a whole bunch of guardrails. Yeah, it's like I don't know. It's like driving a car on automatic when you know how to drive stick, right?
So, right.
Exactly. If you can get past the interface of Magic Online not being all cutesy, then like Magic Online is like the best tool. I mean, I know LSV said that like, he was just practicing on Magic Online because it's like a closest thing actual real experience.
He probably practices with Magic the Gathering Online, but I say recently, maybe about a year ago, I joined his Twitch stream where he Twitches Magic the Gathering Arena, you know? And believe it or not, I was in a room with like maybe only 30 people, and I was throwing suggestions in there too, because it was like not too many of us in the, you know, commenting, you know? But yeah, I mean, I know for a fact he'll play with Magic the Gathering Arena.
Oh, he does.
Okay.
Yeah, I know he does, but I think he's saying when he was practicing for PT Philly, he was doing drafts on Magic Online.
Oh, God.
Because they just have a higher caliber of competitive players.
Exactly.
More quality players, I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 100% sure he plays both clients, right? Because he has to, right? Because there's some formats that you can't play on Arena, and he streams those.
Yeah.
And I know he's a fan of Cube, and you can't get that, or you can't get exactly the same Cube on Arena, and he's been playing in the MPL and the Players Tour stuff online, so he's had to get very acclimated to Arena. But I mean, he's a product of the Magic Online era, so I'm 2,000% sure if you asked him what he prefers, he would definitely say Magic Online, because that's real Magic. That's not even a hot take. Like, Magic Online is real Magic. Like, Magic Arena is like Magic with a lot of outside assistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see the time pop up, and I don't want to have an awkward ending. So, Onik, to honor everybody's time, do you have any questions for James?
Not at the moment. I'm looking forward to listening in on your interview with Reed Duke. And I'm just kind of scrolling through your Twitter, just like everyone in the past too.
You know what I want to say about Reed Duke is that that term. That I don't know if it's a slogan from that Virginia Slims, you've come a long way, baby. You know what I mean? He's come a long way. Reed Duke has. I remember when, in my opinion, when I first start seeing him at the scene, you know, I was like, wow, that kid was young. I mean, in my opinion, he's still young, you know, but he's come a long way, man, since I first saw him in action.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always represented the United States also too, right?
Reed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I've always rooted for him, man. You know, of course, if you know somebody else was in the United States, you know, there was one guy that was local too. I can't remember his name, Brad Nelson. I would root for him too because he would root for the United States. You know, I don't know, Yellow Hat. I root for him. He's not from the United States.
Nope.
I root for him.
PVDDR. I mean, it doesn't. I don't really care where you're from. I'll root for you if you're a good human. Period.
Was it Gabriel Nassif? Am I saying the right name? Gabriel Nassif?
Yeah, Yellow Hat.
Yeah, yep. I like him, man. I watch his Twitch streams, too. If somebody's just listening to this podcast for the first time, James, and they want to, you know, catch up on your content, what's the best way to direct them?
Yeah, I would say go to my Twitter. I'm pretty active on there. So it's Humans of Magic, just one word. Or you can go to humansofmagic.com. All the things are aggregated there. So I've got a YouTube channel that I'm trying to grow. I've got the audio-only podcast. You can find them all on humansofmagic.com or through my Twitter. That's the best. Those are the best places.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I don't know if we got on the recording of the podcast, but I looked at some of the episodes, man, and those are some names right there on those podcasts, you know. That's an amazing list of names on the podcast. I mean, that's quite an accomplishment, man.
Thank you. And I mean, obviously I couldn't have done any of that without the support of the community. And that is really, really, it really goes to show like that people are willing to help each other out, like in terms of time and, you know, providing their voice and speaking their truth and their stories. So I'm just very happy to be a channel or a vessel for that.
Absolutely. I'm really surprised by the outpour of love and how quick you can make a friend too in the magic community. When we talked about earlier, Onika, you asked James, you know, how do you reach out to people and stuff? You know, I think it boils down to you just do, you know, you take that leap. And I do it sometimes myself too. I'll get outside my comfortable zone. I'll reach out to somebody and be like, hey, this is definitely worth a shot, man. You know, X, Y, and Z, you know, and hey, what do you think? You know, kind of a thing. But, when it comes to level up, it really, you know, it's near and dear to me that somebody takes something out of this segment. And there's a lot of, you know, questions that could be asked. And there's one more question I want to ask you, James, before we do let everybody go, right? Is with the advancement of Magic the Gathering Arena, what do you think about the ability for somebody to play, just, you know, theorizing here, 1,000 games real quick versus not as many in paper, you know, getting the statistics and the analytics from all that information? Do you have any thought on that at all or no?
I do. You know, as I said, I'm a product of the 90s, right? 2000s in terms of, you know, pre-digital magic. And I do a lot of digital magic now through Arena and Magic Online. I talk to people who do the same. I would say that you need to find a good balance of all of the above, right? I don't think it's great to just play on Arena in the same way that it's not great to just play paper events. I think the best analogy I can make is to poker, right? Because like everybody knows about the poker boom and people play online versus in casinos or sit and goes. And I think you need to find a balance because even talking to Reed for this latest interview, we were talking about how he had his preparation for one, right? He wasn't grinding thousands of matches on Magic Online or drafting 1,000 matches on Magic Online. He was actually thinking about Magic as much as he was playing it and talking to people, admittedly high-level pros, but, you know, find your circle of people that you trust and work with them to figure out, like, how do you get more intentional about Magic? I've talked to a lot of people, not just Reed, and they all tell me to get to truly high level play, you have to spend time thinking about Magic, not just grinding matches upon matches of Magic. Right. And the other thing he said that Reed said was, you know, in this Pro Tour, the latest one, he had a huge edge because he was playing against people that it took them mental energy to like shuffle cards and like play paper Magic because they were more on the online side. Wow. And so when you're trying to hit peak performance, right, for you based on your own standards as a player, you can't get to that point where it takes you a lot of mental energy just to like untap, draw, shuffle your cards, like look at the cards in your hand. Like you have to master these things so that I think Reed used a sports analogy, which is like, you know, if you're an athlete, you're not thinking about putting one foot in front of the other because like a lot of the movements are already natural.
You just do it. Yeah.
You just do it, right?
Yeah.
It's so practiced that 10,000 hours or whatever that you don't have to think about it, right? Then you can spend your mental energy thinking about what does my opponent have or how do I win? What's my game plan? And like, so that'll be my answer. It's like you have to do all of the above. But right. It depends on your goals too, right? If you just want to have fun and if you have limited time and you're just at home, then by all means, like, fire up, you know, Magic Online or Magic Arena. But it's really like, just figure out what you want to do that's conducive to your goals.
As you said that, I'm thinking, okay, he's any person, they played a forest. Okay, they're probably playing Channel Fireball. Right? I don't know. Just me? Okay. Well, that's going to be all the time we have for this week, guys. And I probably said it a lot, and I probably said it in the pre-show. James, thank you so much, man, for coming on today's show.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. And
thanks for having me. You guys do great work.
Well, thanks, man. That means a lot. And we'll include little links to the podcast and your.com in our show notes and plaster it all over the place. We'll let the listeners go. We really mean it. We'll go ahead and give you guys something again on the next episode. We'll give you the term or the word. We'll think about it. That'll give us a week to think of something, Monique.
Okay.
And for everybody, thank you so much, James, for coming on. I learned a lot. Monique, I think you probably learned a few things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And listeners, too, let us know your thoughts and opinions. Join us on the Facebook group, Cryptic Commander. It's in the groups. Just go to Facebook, go to groups, The Cryptic Commander, and let us know your thoughts. Until next time, keep spell slinging.